more people need to like go to the mind gym as opposed to going to the physical gym, and it'll change a lot about
what
they do.
There's a book called The Untethered Soul. Have you read
I've read that one.
Yeah.
too. I have that
and
one.
And it pretty much talks about how your subconscious mind has nothing to do with who you are and who your soul is. And I always tell people when they're like sad or whatever, I'm like, okay, well, whatever that voice in your head is everything it's learned from the day you were born until today. Yeah. That's literally all it is. Yeah. And it's other people's words, it's your family's words, it's your culture, it's your surroundings, it's whatever happened to you in elementary school. And that's where that voice comes from. So if you just brainwash yourself to have a new voice in your head, 100%. Then everything else that's around you will attract differently. So like for me, I always had my master's, you know, it was years that I had, like, I had had it for 2 years before I ever started my business. I'd always been relatively intelligent, and, like, I'd always looked pretty much the same. I've always weighed the same since high school. Mm. For me, the only thing that changed was my ability to believe in myself. And the second I was like, oh, I can do...
Everyone loves Jay Shetty. He's always like, I heard this quote one time from Jay Shetty. I was like, yo, you say
that's like
Jay
me with,
Shetty quote, bro?
That's like me and Gary Vee. That man changed my life.
I said 100%. I said it one time.
No, I got you. Are we rolling or what? Yeah, we're rolling. All right, Sanaz, welcome. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Of course, of course. So, where are you from? Name, where'd you grow up?
I'm from Vancouver, BC.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Pretty much born and raised, well, I say I'm born and raised in BC, but I was actually born in Alberta, but I don't remember it. So I grew up in West Van, pretty much been there my whole life, went away from my master's, came right back. I am 33, and I own a business in plant supplements and mental health.
Oh, nice. What high school did you go to?
Sentinel, secondary school, the best. Okay. Sentinel Spartans.
Yeah, you guys folded your football team, though.
I mean, it's because no one... I was literally the year they folded.
Really?
Yeah, they changed it into a rugby team because no one wanted to play because all the West Van moms prevented their kids from, like, bashing their heads around.
Or they went to West Van. Yeah. They went to the... Is it Highlanders? What is it?
Yeah, we actually had no one go to West Van.
Oh, yeah. Or Carson... No, Carson Graham, North
Carson,
Van.
Carson, yeah.
A lot of people went to Carson.
Carson was AAA and they were a beast back
Yeah, like, I did... like, I knew, like... I don't know if you know Terrell Longley, but he was a quarterback then. He was fucking nasty. That boy was nasty.
Makes
just
sense.
Light skin. You know, his light skin is just super athletic.
Yeah.
One of those. He was like 5'11", just fucking fast as hell. Anyway, Sentinel. So what? What's your business? Like, what do you do? What do you sell? What is your product or service?
Do you want to know like the whole?
I want the whole thing.
Like how it's
from the start.
Yeah.
Okay, so long story short, I was put on medication for years of my life, like mental health medication.
Mm-hmm.
Initially, like I never realized I had anything really wrong with me in high school. I just thought that that's how people like woke up wanting to die.
Mm-hmm.
And I just didn't understand that that wasn't the norm. And you don't really talk about those things with people. And I was also the captain of the basketball team, captain of the field hockey team. I ran track for BC. So like I was so active that I didn't really realize what was going on in my brain because it was always calmed down and the dopamine rush was there and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to college at UBC by myself without all my group of friends that I was so reliant on, and I kind of started getting worse and worse anxiety, but I didn't really understand it still. Went to a doctor, and they put me on antidepressants, and then when I went over to do my master's, it got really, really bad, and then a stalker broke into my house, so they put me on Xanax with the antidepressants, and then I was on Adderall for my ADHD, and it was just like this terrible cocktail that made me incredibly suicidal for years, and I was... in a very dark place for a long time and went in and out the mental hospital. And I woke up in the mental hospital one day and I was like, I don't want to live like this. And I had a lab mate who was like, yo, just try these plants. Like, I was like, bro, that's bullshit. I'm a scientist, stop. And he was like, just try it. Like one time, just let's go to the herb shop and we'll buy the plants and you can just try them. We'll make a tea and whatever. And I took them while I was already on my medication and it was like the most calm my brain's ever felt. So I started talking to herbalists and pharmacists and like developed these two blends for myself. And not supposed to say this, but I secretly took myself off medication without telling anyone. But like as a scientist, I knew how to do it properly. And I had already always heard from my doctor that I was too far gone and that my mental health was too severe and I would never survive without medication or wouldn't be able to handle it. And like as a 27-year-old, that's like really dark to hear.
It's a lot to handle.
To think that like every day of your life, you have to wake up and like not feel mentally well until you take something pharmaceutical for yourself. And so I took myself off and I was just trying to like heal. I graduated from my master's and I just like was not ready to go into the world yet. So I was serving at a restaurant and the restaurant got shut down when COVID hit. And I started making the oils for everyone around us. So all of the other servers and like the owners that work there just started making them for everyone to calm down their anxiety. And then they started telling the regulars about it. And then the regulars loved it and they were telling strangers about it. And then when we reopened, there were just so many people randomly asking me and walking by the restaurant being like, are you the girl with the oils? Like, can I buy some for my son for this, for that? And it kind of just became a business, but I was broke, so I had no money to put into it. Like, I was relatively homeless, so I was like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with, like, a great idea and no money.
Yeah.
And so every like month I would put like a few hundred dollars that I'd saved at the restaurant into it. But like it took me about 9-10 months just to launch it. And it was like very hack, like launching like a basic website and basic
branding.
It's
supposed to. That's how it's supposed to.
And it was like a friend of mine was the designer that did the branding for cheap. And like the whole thing cost like about $500-$600. And then I saw this like ad come up on how to grow your TikTok account. And I was like, okay, so it was like $400. I bought the course and made a TikTok account. And a month later, I hit like, I had a video go viral and it got me like 10 grand in sales. And from that point forward, I quit my job and just been doing this full time. And obviously like now learned how to like scale it and grow it. And now I have a team with me and marketing team and a PR team and an advisor and stuff. But started out just with a problem and needed a cure. So that's me.
Okay, so that, there was a lot there.
There
was a lot there. So first I want to, I'm assuming science, like what'd you go to UBC for? Science, to be a scientist?
So my undergrad is in health sciences and chemistry, and I took all the med prereqs and was the athletic therapist for the men's basketball team. So I traveled with them for 3.5 years, and I took all the med prereq courses and did all the MCAT and everything, but once I graduated, I realized I had nerve damage on the right side of my body, and my hand goes numb sometimes, so I couldn't be the kind of doctor I wanted to be. So I did my master's in biomedical engineering in prosthetic limb design and actuation, so artificial muscle design, so pretty much actuation devices for robotics and prosthetics is what my master's is in.
How long were you at UBC for? Like how long from when you first got there till you've done all your...
So I graduated technically in 4 years, but the guys wanted me to stay for 5 years, so I just stayed back and did their homework for the extra year.
Well, oh, you mean the basketball team?
Yeah. They wanted me to graduate with them, so I just did their homework for
them. Yeah.
There's something in my eye.
No, go ahead, get it.
I don't know what it is, but my Lord, that is uncomfortable.
So, yeah, so you said, like, when you went to the doctors, they put you on antidepressants. What did they diagnose you with?
That's the thing. I kept being like, I'm kind of anxious, but, like, I don't really know. And they were like, this will do the trick. And it just made me, like, emotionless and numb.
Yeah.
But I was just getting more and more angry inside. It was weird because I was never an angry person. I actually grew up, like, really happy. I mean, obviously, like, I think everyone has stuff that goes on at home, but 100%. Like nothing so crazy that I needed to have like that much medication in me. I just I had like terrible coping skills, and I just didn't understand how to be alone. And the more like I detached from my friends and family, the more like I was struggling, and everyone just felt the need to medicate me instead of listen to me. Like I went to the psychiatrist, but no.
So in your opinion, like what, like how would you rate the healthcare system when you had like your interactions with the doctors?
I think doctors are amazing people. Mm-hmm. I really do respect Western medicine and science. Like as a scientist, obviously I respect it. But I feel like in this generation, it's a lot of like a Band-Aid type cure. And especially when it comes to mental health, things are just so overprescribed. And it's like, why don't we actually look at the human being, look at their diet, look at their lifestyle, understand what's happening at home, and then devise some sort of like therapeutic restoration of their mental health, or at least try to like guide them towards natural options. Whereas I feel like nowadays it's like, oh, you have ADHD, go on some Adderall, get some Vyvanse.
Why do you think that is?
It's easy. It's easy for parents to just drug the kid and make it be quiet.
No, I mean, why do you think like doctors are so easy to prescribe that as opposed to like digging deeper into each individual?
There's a lot of reasons, I feel like. One, just plant medicine stigmatized. It's heavily stigmatized, and I think that comes from years and years of indoctrination and stigmatization. It comes from our school systems being wiped of plant medicine when petroleum medications came out. I don't know how much I'm allowed to say this stuff online. I don't want to get canceled, but it's the truth.
There's no canceling doesn't exist. Continue.
I think that there's a huge drive in pharmaceuticals and Western medicine, and obviously doctors are incentivized. They have reps coming and teaching them about it. Mm. And plant medicine was literally wiped out of the curriculum in the early 1900s and called unscientific quackery. And any doctors that practice plant medicine in the United States, which obviously we're kind of like their little brother, we do everything they do. Mm. And in the United States, it was actually wiped from the curriculum, and doctors were being put to jail for practicing plant medicine.
Yeah.
So obviously that stigmatization propelled
throughout the years. What's the doctor's name that died?
Sebi.
Yeah. Dr. Sebi. Oh, gosh. Yeah.
The propaganda with this man is just outrageous, and I don't know to speak on it. Like,
I was going to say, was he legit? Like, was he what he was representing in terms of his medicine?
He said some things that were a bit wild from my perspective, and he said other things that were actually great, but... For example, he would talk about sea moss all the time, and he would hold up Chondrus crispus and talk about it as, sorry, he would hold up Gracilaria, which is a species that comes from, you know, St. Lucia, Jamaica, whatever, and he would call it Irish moss, which is Chondrus crispus, and it was completely inaccurate because the scientific studies have been done on Chondrus crispus, not necessarily done on Gracilaria. Yeah, and it's just like there was discrepancies in what he was saying, but the vague notion of what he was trying to do was good to an extent. I don't know how much I believe in the alkaline diet because your body maintains its own homeostasis, so I don't understand how you can alkaline your blood when naturally your blood stays at a specific like pH level.
Yeah, I thought it was more so because, especially in the western side, just because like how bad people eat here, that they're kind of like...
Yeah, and in that sense, I think
acid
like,
levels are so high that like alkaline diet is just kind of to balance you out.
Okay, yeah, in that perspective, I thought it was to alkalize your 100%. Blood, and I was like, I don't understand how that makes logical sense,
but
I've never like really took a deep dive into him. Yeah. I just know that there was discrepancies with what he said, but from like the most part, yeah, you should focus on your diet, and I do think that like a lack of certain vitamins and minerals will cause a lot of diseases, and people don't look at their diet and what they're putting in their body. Like, my diet's garbage. I'm gonna be very honest. I eat McDonald's frequently. I had it last night. Like, clearly there is zero nutrients in that, and I know that. Yeah, so it's like enough. You should either then follow it up with a salad or take in some sort of nuts or proteins or chia, like whatever the freaking seeds are, or take a multivitamin or do something because there ain't nothing in that.
So 100%.
You kind of just have to regulate your own health to an extent, but always like what you put into your body is exactly what you are. So if you're eating garbage, you're gonna feel like garbage,
for sure.
Eventually it's gonna cause a disease or disorder of some form.
I asked the question about your perspective on like the healthcare system, like when you had these issues or whether you like do or don't, because you saw like a lot with COVID and stuff like that, and you hear rumors, because obviously I'm not in the medical field, but you hear rumors about like doctors getting like slapped on the wrists for like ordering tests that aren't necessary, like based off of, but like a doctor's like kind of trying to problem solve, right? And like figuring out, I'm talking to Sanaz, she's saying this could be this, but because it's not 100%, I'm gonna get this test ordered, and they get slapped on the wrist being like, that costs money to do that. If it comes back negative, it's a waste of money. So like doctors aren't incentivized to kind of dig deeper and figure out those problems because it's costing them money.
In Canada or where?
In Canada, for sure. Yeah. I've heard, obviously, it's worse in the States, apparently, especially with the opioid crisis. Like, I personally don't know a lot of people who are on, like, hard opioids here, but, like, the stigma in the States is that a lot of, like, moms from L.A. and stuff like that, like, people who are depressed are just, like, taking Xanax and all these things as antidepressants. But my point is that, like, doctors aren't incentivized to kind of dig deeper and find the root of the cause, especially when there's so much money involved with big pharma. So I don't, other than, like, my regular doctor trips, I haven't had to, like, sit down with a doctor and kind of go back and forth on a regular basis about my mental health or physical health, thank God. But someone who has a better perspective on exactly what's going on and, like, whether the system is good, how they're handling it, how they're kind of trying to figure things out with each individual. So that's why that's why I was asking you exactly.
I still think they have enough time. Like, especially if you go into a GP, they're back to back and they only have 15 to 20 minute time slots for each person. Yeah. So it's like, how much can I really tell you about who I am, what I am and what I'm feeling and what my background is, what I eat, like how I was raised, the culture I grew up in, you know, it all plays a factor. So it's like, how much can I really tell you in this short span of time? And then like with my own actual doctor, she kind of just kept throwing shit at the wall and seeing what sticks. Yeah. And I went to the campus psychiatrist and I would literally cry to him and say, I'm suicidal. I'm not okay. Like, I might off myself. And he would just be like, it's okay. Let's just increase the dose. And I'd be like, I remember one time I was crying my eyes out and I was like, please just talk to me. I just want someone to talk to. And he was like, sorry, I don't have time. And it was like, bro, like, I'm not okay. And it was like after the stalker broke in at the same time, I was being blackmailed for some other by a stranger that had gotten like a picture of me without a shirt on. And he was using it as a way for me to go visit him in Miami, which obviously scared me. I'm not going to go visit you when you're blackmailing me as a stranger.
Yeah, that's
so obviously I went to the police about it and they couldn't do anything. But then they ended up showing up to my house at 4 a.m. and like handcuffing me and taking me to the mental hospital because they thought I was a suicide risk. And it's like, it's just there's so many flaws in, I guess, the whole system from my perspective. And yeah. I don't mean it as these people are not good-hearted, because they are, but it's
there's
just
no
from the top down.
Yeah,
it's like
no real process.
I showed them the guy's account. The guy's account had like 50 or 90,000 followers or something on Instagram. He had a big following, was like very plugged in with a bunch of NFL guys. He was a shoe dealer, luxury shoe dealer for NFL guys. He's got all these pictures with celebrities. I had his full name. I had the messages from that account threatening me. I had all of the pieces of information saying like, oh, I got this from your ex. Ha ha ha. I'm going to do this. I'm going to post online. Like I repeatedly was getting threats,
yeah.
showed them everything. And they're like, sorry, it's out of our hands, but I'm going to arrest you and take you to the mental hospital and handcuff you to a bed for 2 days. It's
yeah.
like, what? Like, yeah. you know what I mean? Obviously yeah. that's going to make me more sad. And then they just like drug me on Valium and hope that it would just go away. And it's like 2 days of Valium in a bed with a freaking random stranger sitting in the room staring at me isn't going to cure me.
For
you know
sure.
what I mean? It's just going to make me more sad and helpless.
So during this whole time, like you said that you were essentially homeless, like where I thought where
not
you
actually
were,
but
yeah.
I just was really poor, like I was a student, right?
Yeah.
And I didn't have anyone to really go to. And
where's family?
They're in West Van.
They're like local.
Yeah.
You just not don't have a good relationship with them.
Now I do.
Oh yeah, okay.
Yeah,
just back
it
then.
Was just back then times were a little bit more like my parents recently got a divorce, so it's
yeah,
a lot
yeah.
better in our household
yeah.
now.
Oh yeah,
and
okay, good.
It's a lot more separated, and my dad left for Turkey a while ago, and
yeah.
like we've got a much better relationship now. But
yeah.
I mean, long story short, I wore a bathing suit and he called me a prostitute and told me he hates me. So
yeah,
long story
yeah.
short, I wasn't allowed in their house and I wasn't allowed to talk to them at the time.
Like
so
old school mentality type
yeah.
thing. Yeah.
So when we were in Greece, so we were going on a boat trip and it was for my sister's wedding and I wore a bathing suit and he got mad and said change. And I was like, I'm grown. I'm not going to change my bathing suit.
Yeah,
what
yeah,
you mean?
Yeah.
And he was like, I hate you.
Yeah,
you're a
yeah.
prostitute. Don't ever come into my house. Oh. So long story short, I couldn't talk to them and I couldn't obviously ask for money.
Yeah.
And my sister's always been busy. She's one of the best corporate lawyers in Canada. So she's always been busy and she was articling at the time and like trying to grow herself, so I just wasn't comfortable asking her. So
sure.
I graduated and didn't really have much money, and I was living with my ex. We broke up. I had nowhere to go, so I slept in a back alley for 2 nights, and then I ended up calling him and he sent me enough money to fly back to Vancouver and pay for like a month's rent with a stranger in a basement suite.
Yeah.
I just found someone off Craigslist and lived with some random dude for a few months until
yeah.
I started serving at a restaurant and made enough money to get out of there and get my own little creepy basement suite.
Definitely. Everyone's got a story, man.
Yeah.
yeah.
I want to go back to what you said. Firstly, thank you for being vulnerable enough to actually share that with us. And even I think that's wild to me that with this whole mental health thing, like the first thing that you would assume that people would do is actually talk to you first before they like actually assign stuff to you. Like the fact that you were opened with this person, no one said anything. They're like, oh, like, well, we're just going to give you more. I think that's probably a part of the problem, where it's like people can't feel, like they don't feel heard. They don't even, can't even talk to people.
I felt like I was drowning
yeah.
for years. I felt like no one could understand what was happening in my brain. And then that makes you start feeling like you're a victim. And then when you think you're a victim, that's everything that comes to you is negative. Everything you draw in around you is victim mentality. And it just goes into this deeper, deeper pit. And a lot of like, what changed my perspective was listening to Gary Vee. And it
for
was
sure.
like him saying, like, do you really think your problems are worse than everyone else's? I was like, no, not at all. There's way worse people. And it just started giving me perspective. Like, I do have a master's. I'm able-bodied. I'm healthy. Like,
mm-hmm.
I've got so much, like, opportunity. You know, growing up in West Van, I have, like, a good network of people that are
mm-hmm.
all, like, really powerful humans that love me. It's just, it's really hard to reach out and, like, think that you're lovable or that you can accept help from other people when
mm-hmm.
you're struggling. But like
yeah.
slowly I like started to get back into like talking more to my friends from childhood and like, you know, cause I do have a really great group of friends that are like, there's like about 20 of us and we've known each other since we were in grade 6. So
mm-hmm.
it's like, I hadn't even talked to some of them for years. And it was just because I was in such a deep pit that I didn't want to bother anyone. And I felt like no one understood me and no one could help me. And I was just like this big victim.
Yeah.
But a lot of what changed was listening to Gary Vee and Bruce Van Horn, and both of them are like people that have gone through like extreme adversity but come out on the other side and like used it as a tool to help others.
Yeah.
Definitely. So how long would you say it took you to become like as courageous as you are now to be like this open and talk about it with people?
About 4 years.
4 years from like when it was happening to like?
No, it happened for about 8 years, 8 to 10 years almost, yeah. that I was like deep in like a dark, dark pit and like tried to off myself a few times and just didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's been 4 years since I like transitioned to plant medicine and started working on my mental health, and like journaling every day was huge. Taking cold showers in the morning to increase my dopamine was huge. Yeah. A big, big, big thing that changed my life too was hypnotherapy. Which sounds
explain
wild.
That. Yeah,
yeah, please so explain that. I'm very intrigued.
Waking
by that.
Up every morning, I would have thoughts of wanting to off myself. And I thought that was normal. I thought people would just shake it off throughout the day and kind of just like, you know, start living.
Yeah.
And eventually it just goes away throughout the day. For me, at least it did, right? Mm-hmm. Especially when I would go around my friends, I wouldn't have those thoughts anymore. I would just be happy to be there.
Yeah.
And so I never really looked into it. But once I got to a form of like, okay, I'm like doing all the work, I'm mentally well, like I'm not on medication anymore, I'm proud of myself, I'm like got this growing business, I still had this weird like sadness in me, and I was like, what is that? And then I actually at the Burna Boy concert this past summer smoked a joint, and in my head it was like this like constant cycle of like, you're ugly, you're a loser, you're fat, why are you even here, like everyone's staring at you. And I was like, yo, what is happening? I'm like, when I look in the mirror, I have no issues. Like, I don't get what the issue is in my head.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to a hypnotherapist, and I was like, I think, like, something's off with me. I think it's my confidence, but I don't feel like it's my confidence, but something is off.
Yeah.
She was like, I think it's your subliminal programming. And I was like, what do you mean? And she's like, well, your subconscious mind is what's most active for the first 15 minutes of the morning, and that's where that weird programming is, like...
For sure.
And it's learned from childhood, and obviously growing up in a Middle Eastern, like, household where clearly my parents are strict.
Yeah.
It's like... a culture of not being good enough ever. Yeah. And I think that was just sitting deep, deep within me. And even though I'd done all the work, I still felt this weird emptiness. And I was like, why? Like, I'm happy. Like, on the surface, I'm happy. And I have, like, better friends now. And I have, like, other people that are understanding me. But it just, like, wasn't clicking. So I went to hypnotherapy. And, like, a woman talked into a microphone into my ears. And almost overnight, it was gone. Mm-hmm. Like, that voice was gone. And I was just, like, I'd walk in a room and it was just silence in my brain. And I was like... cool, like this is neat.
Yeah.
And so now I just go to her, like it was only 4 sessions and all of a sudden things were gone
for sure,
and it was life-changing. She works with a lot of like celebrities in LA and helps them stop smoking. Like they talk about her on the Tonight Show and stuff. Like she's awesome.
Yeah,
she does like anxiety, she does like cessation of smoking, she does mental health stuff, she does pretty much like trauma release, all that. Super powerful. And ever since then, like that happened in September where I did the hypnotherapy, and ever since then I've been like happier than ever. It's like shocking.
Yeah, so there's a lot of stuff, like obviously like exercise, cold showers all help stimulate, but like most people don't actually do the research on how to like program their mind.
Mm-hmm.
So like you were saying, like the subconscious, it is formed by your outside world, especially as a kid growing up. So like what you're seeing and what your parents are saying to you, so whether they're like saying positive things or negative things, that's your subconscious, because you don't understand actually what's going on. Like there's a great book, The Power of the Subconscious Mind. I've read it like 2 or 3 times. And that's what like positive affirmations are. People seem to think that positive affirmations is actually doing the work that needs to be done. It's not. No. It's more so just putting you in a mindset or a space where you're able to actually get the work done.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's not like, oh, you're the best, you're great, you're this and that. That's not going to get you to be successful in business. It's going to put you in the mindset where you're like, I can do this, let me actually attempt it. As opposed to being like, oh, I can't do it. I'm like, I'm not that guy, or I'm not that girl. Like, I don't have those kind of capabilities. So it at least puts you in the mindset. And I think a lot more people need to like go to the mind gym, mm-hmm. as opposed to going to the physical gym. And it'll change a lot about what they do.
There's a book called The Untethered Soul. Have you read that one?
I've read that one too. Yeah. I have that one.
And it pretty much talks about how your subconscious mind has nothing to do with who you are and who your soul is. And I always tell people when they're like sad or whatever, I'm like, okay, well, whatever that voice in your head is everything it's learned from the day you were born until today.
Yeah.
That's literally all it is. Yeah. And it's other people's words. It's your family's words. It's your culture. It's your surroundings. It's whatever happened to you in elementary school. And that's where that voice comes from. So if you just brainwash yourself to have a new voice in your head,
100%.
Then everything else that's around you will attract differently. So like for me, I always had my master's, you know, it was years that I had it for 2 years before I ever started my business. I'd always been relatively intelligent. Like I'd always looked pretty much the same. I've always weighed the same since high school.
Mm-hmm.
For me, the only thing that changed was my ability to believe in myself. And the second I was like, oh, I can do this. And now I set outrageous goals for myself. And I was looking at like my journal from 2 years ago. My goals were so funny to me back then. And it's like, I've way surpassed all of them.
For
and now
sure.
like I have different goals and different dreams. And it's like, I don't think anything is impossible. I think I'm capable of absolutely taking over the world if I wanted to. And yeah. I think the second you start thinking like that is the second everything just aligns for you.
For sure. That's beautiful.
Yeah. I want to go back to that too, because I think that's where the biggest problem is, because we talk about this all the time. A lot of people don't actually spend time with themselves and don't know what those voices are, so they can't even deal with those voices.
A lot of people don't know there's a voice in their head. Yeah. I told a friend of mine that, and she said, I thought that was just thinking. I said, bitch, what? What do you mean? I'm like, so you think thinking is rude? Thinking tells you, like, because she's constantly, like, she's a dancer, and she's like, oh, I'm not pretty enough. I'm like, bro, you have abs. What are you talking about? She's like, no, I'm fat. Look, there's, like, a piece hanging.
Oh,
I'm
my
like,
goodness.
Yo, you need to chill.
Yeah,
she's like,
that's dangerous.
She's like, your perspective of hot and my perspective of hot are different. And I'm like, well, it happens in your brain, so you create your perspective of hot. And if you tell yourself you're beautiful, like, there's, and I tell people, I'm like, you know, like, there's certain celebrities that are so beautiful, but we just don't really see it. But then there's people that are, like, pretty, like, yeah, like, Rihanna, she's beautiful, but is she the most beautiful person in the world, like, symmetrically and anatomically?
No,
I don't know. But how many people are obsessed with that bitch because of her energy?
For sure.
And she literally walks around like she is the baddest bitch.
For sure.
And everyone else agrees. And like, there's people I meet that walk into a room and they're so magnetic and they're so beautiful and everyone just stares at them. Yeah. But they're not necessarily that attractive.
It's just
the
energy.
More so their aura, what they exude
they
into the world
themselves.
And how they think they are. And whatever you feel about yourself is exactly how everyone else will feel.
True. And not in every situation, though.
I
don't know. Now, I've had some people who think that they're the shit.
But that's ego.
Yeah.
A lot of people that walk around like that are actually subconsciously very insecure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it comes from a place of actually being at peace with yourself. And it's like, you don't need, like, people that are at peace with themselves, like, don't need to wear shiny things and the designer stuff, but sleep on a mattress on the floor. You feel me? Like, I meet a lot of people like that too that talk a big game and it's like, cool, but why is your Rolex fake then? Like, you feel me? Like, and it's like, I will sit there and Google, like.
Bro, I know some people who wear some fake shit. I had this conversation with them. I was like, bro, like, why don't you just not wear it and wear something that you can afford as opposed
Seriously,
to buying
though,
something that
I don't get it.
Is
I will
like
never
to show,
understand it.
It makes no sense. I'm like, you're buying fake Gucci belts to show that you can afford Gucci or that you like Gucci or that you can buy Gucci, but it's not real. So it's like, what are you? I just don't understand what that is.
And it's just insecurity, right?
Yeah.
It's like trying to keep up with the Joneses.
Yeah.
But once you're at peace with yourself and you genuinely think you're a good person from the inside out, like, that aligns.
Like buy your stuff. If you want to buy it and you can afford it and you're not, like, going into debt to do it and you want to buy it, it's your money. No one's going to. But, like, when you can't afford it, so, like, you're buying the fake version or you're going into debt to buy these things, it's like, for what? It's made of leather. It's a leather
Fendi
belt.
This Fendi poncho, and I literally have worn it once since I bought it because I just feel like a douchebag wearing it.
But it's all. But it's because
but it's like,
no. See, I
love
think,
it, but it's like every time I put it on, I'm like doing too much.
Okay, see, I know exactly what she's talking about because I know people exactly who said the same thing. It's not that you think you're douchey. It's that people who can't afford it or can't wear it will judge you. So it's just I've seen people do
fancy.
That.
And it's fancy. Like, I'm not that fancy of
No,
a gal.
I see people do that all the time. I see people who are like, who can't afford something, that want it, that they'll see someone with it and be like, like a big, like, you know those big trucks with those fucking giant wheels?
No, but that looks
like,
stupid.
Oh, how small is that guy's dick? I was like, maybe he just likes big trucks.
But to be fair,
likes big
80%
trucks.
Of the time, it's usually a small dude who's trying to overcompensate for something.
I don't think that's the case all the time.
No, like, I'm telling you, 80% of the time. Like,
so what about a nice car?
No, that's different. And that's what I'm saying. This is where the problem is, like, trying to find that balance. Because you can look into every single thing like that. But again, with the big trucks, if you look at it, I know because there's two guys in my building.
Yeah.
Tiny dudes. I'm like, why do you have
a
big truck?
I kind of agree with both of you, though. I think that there are certain people that just like something and get it.
Why not?
And there's certain people. Like, I was, this guy, like, took me out on a date. And we get in his car. And it was a nice car. It was like a... What do you call that type of Benz? The nice Benz?
The G-Wagon?
No.
Maybach?
Yeah. And I get in
said
and he
nice
goes,
car.
He
yeah,
goes,
that's
are
a,
you turned
nice
on?
Car.
And I was like, excuse me? And he's like,
oh, he asked you that? See,
like,
that's when it goes to
you. I was like, for what? And he was like, don't you like my car? And I was like, yeah, it's cool. Like, I'm confused, you know? And it's like... Why? Like, and I was like, why are you talking to me like this? I'm uncomfortable. So it's like, it depends on why you buy the nice thing. Do you like it or are you doing it to impress someone?
Yeah.
And it's like, if you like your big monster truck and you think it's sick,
cool,
go off then. Enjoy your life. Like, you know, it's your money. But it when it comes from a place of lack and insecurity and you're only doing it to impress others, then it's like a second to go look in the mirror.
Yeah, I just feel like you just shouldn't judge anybody. for anything that they do. It's like, you want to buy that, you want to wear that, sure. The only thing I judge people on, there's one thing, and I will never waver to the fucking day I die. You wear pajama pants outside your fucking house, I'm going to give you shit every time.
That's me all the time.
I don't care. If you're wearing the checkered fucking, I'm telling you, I don't care if I know you or I don't know you. I'm coming at you. I'll come across the street and I'll be, excuse me. There's only one piece of clothing that is designated for your house. One. If I ask anybody, what's one piece of clothing designated for your house? They're like, PJs? Yes. Don't wear pajamas outside. I can't. Wear anything else. Don't wear pajamas and don't wear your fucking house slippers. Other than that, wear whatever the fuck you want. Green hair, this lipstick, paint your nails if you're a guy. I don't care. But you cannot wear pajamas outside. I'm sorry. That's
when
the one.
Because you said that, I'm going to do it. When I lived in my parents' home, I was not allowed to wear sweatpants outside.
Yeah, well, see, that's a bit more strict than I would be. But pajamas is where I cross the line.
My mom said, you're not homeless. Don't dress like
hey,
that.
That's,
I said, okay, ma'am.
I know parents like that too, and that's, hey, that's fair.
I would beg to wear my sweatpants. Like, come on, mom, they're so comfy. I'm going to a basketball tournament. Yeah, no, you wear your dress and you go there and change. I'd be like, okay, like all the frills. Like,
that's
okay.
Tough. But I don't think you bought the Fendi poncho, other than that you saw it and you liked it.
Yeah.
I saw a woman on Housewives wearing it, and I was like, that's so cute.
Yeah.
And I was like, I want it. That's and then I was cold in Vegas and I got it.
Yeah, I haven't
and
been to
it
Vegas
kept me
yet.
Warm.
I gotta go.
I mean, I'm not a drinker, so I go to watch the shows. Like, I went to a Magic show. I went to the Cirque du Soleil Beatles Love show. I went to the Absinthe show, which was really cool. It was like a comedy, but like they did like cool gymnastics. And I go eat a lot. Like, some of my friends own like one or two of the restaurants out there that are in the big places, so we can easily get rezos and stuff. And it's just good food.
Out. I was gonna go to Ryan Garcia versus Gervonta Davis.
Oh, the fight?
Yeah. So I was like, me and my buddy were talking about it from like November, because they've been going back and forth contractually, all that stuff. So I actually booked the room at the Caesars, and then we were like keeping Google alerts on the flights, waiting for the fight to officially get booked. And then it got booked, and then we were waiting for the tickets to go on sale. Never heard anything about tickets going on sale. And then I keep checking, nothing, keep checking. Then all of a sudden I check, and it's like, oh, they were sold last week. And now I'm looking, the prices are fucking outrageous. I'm like, okay. So I canceled my reservations in Caesars and all that shit. So that was the one time I was actually going to go, which is supposed to be April 22nd. I'm about to cancel it.
Yeah, see, Vegas is fun. Like, I don't know. I don't like clubs, and loud noises are not my thing, and crowds aren't really my thing either. So
clubs aren't my thing
anymore.
For me,
it's more so like when people give me my space and I can go sit down peacefully and just watch a show or eat some good food. Like, I'll never say no. And fun fact, the TikTok algorithm actually favors when you move around. So
really?
Well, number one, videos go more viral when you upload them in the States. That's just fact. So a lot of times, like, you probably see me on my social media, I travel once a month, and people are like, oh, who's your sugar daddy? I'm like, I actually pay for it myself. Like,
me.
And people are like,
me,
how's your
bitch.
Little small business? And I'm like, oh, it generates more money than
how
you
disgusting.
Do annually.
Who says this?
A lot.
I know. People are so, like, why? Why?
People ask me to, like, all
are they your friends?
Time.
Or are they randoms?
I mean,
are they acquaintances?
Acquaintances.
Yeah,
more
if you
so
saw them on the street, would you say hi to them?
I just don't think people think that you can generate over $100,000 a month on TikTok.
Yeah, but
you can.
You
like,
definitely can.
You can just.
There's a lot
like,
of people.
Obviously, I'm selling a product. It's not like I'm getting paid by TikTok, but it's just learning how to get people to click your link.
For sure.
And like educate them in a way that they'd want to save your video without buying anything and like fuck with you without needing to like. Because not all my stuff is like a sales campaign, right? It's like some of it is just educational facts, some of it is just what I've been through in life.
Which is what it should be.
Yeah.
Right.
You should
and
be telling people why these oils are good for them and explain that. So, what kind of products do you sell? Like, give me some examples of like things that you do sell and then what the health benefits are.
I put aside some for you guys, and then I forgot.
Don't worry about it.
So, one, I have CMOS supplements.
Okay.
That, I was just something that was added onto the website at a later date because I'm not going to name names, but there is a local man that we all know, and we all know his name, that sells CMOS and claims it's Irish, and it's not, and it's uncomfortable, and he knows damn well it's not, and we know damn well it's not, but for some reason, he keeps going fishing in the St. Lucian waters.
Yeah.
I'd have to clip that out. But he sells Gracilaria.
Yeah.
It's also great, but it's not Chondrus crispus.
Okay,
it's not
which
Irish
what does it do? What does cross?
Chondrus crispus is just very nutrient dense, so it's pretty much a multivitamin that's plant based. So when people say CMOS is a scam, it's like, Well, yeah, sure, it can be a scam. If you're getting a full diet with full nutrients, you're getting all of your vitamins and minerals, then when you take more vitamins and minerals, you're just going to piss it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when you have a diet like mine that, you know, I order every single meal off DoorDash.
Mm.
I recently talked to a chef and she was like, oh, I'll make your food, but you'll have to heat it up still. And I was like, that's the same thing as cooking it. Like, I'll just stick to the DoorDash. Well, she said, I can't microwave it. And I had never learned to turn on the oven. I was looking at it the other day and I fumbled around and I pressed the button.
Wait, what? So how old are you again? Sorry, what'd you say? How old are you again?
33 years
old. And you don't know how to turn on an oven?
No, sir.
Jesus Christ.
You want to hear something funny? I went on live back. I was in Miami and I was trying to like iron my like linen overshirt for my bathing suit.
Yeah.
I had 50,000 people in my live come in and tell me that women are doomed because we no longer know how to iron.
Oh,
and I
was my like, God.
I can run a multi-million dollar company, but I don't know how to iron, so I'm a failure. Yeah,
you don't know how to turn on an oven? You ain't cooking for me? What's going on?
My assistant does things for me.
Oh, that's crazy. DoorDash all the time, 24/7.
Or my assistant goes to Whole Foods and gets me food. Or my mom cooks meals for me. Like, I have like on the first floor of my building, there's a vegan like chef that works. He's the head chef at Cactus Club, and I pay them sometimes to make me meals.
That's much better.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
I can cook. I can cook very well.
Yeah,
but
I don't like it
at all. Mm. I have nerve damage in my hands. Every time I try to cook something, chop something, clean something, it goes numb and swells up and hurts for days. And it's like, why am I doing this for myself if I'm getting zero enjoyment? Like,
no. If you can afford it, I would do the same thing. 100%.
Yeah, like if I was with like a partner or something, like when my like best friend Katie calls me, like, I'll like sit there and like help out with like a little bit of the tasks while she cooks me dinner. Or, like, we'll do it together and it's fun. But like, it's not fun for me to cook on my own. So
yeah,
like,
me neither.
Why?
No, I get
like,
it.
Why
get
am
it.
I going to spend my time and efforts only to make food that's less tasty than I could have ordered in a millisecond? Like,
no, I do
don't
get
make
it.
No sense.
I do get it. It's just probably not the healthiest choice.
No,
forward.
And it's like, yeah, sometimes I eat McDonald's or pizza, like stuffed crust pizza. But at other times I order like, you know, like fresh greens juices or like nice like vegan dishes or, you know, just other types of food. So it is a variety, and no, it's definitely not the healthiest.
Yeah, yeah.
And I wish there was some sort of like meal program where I could get it like delivered 2-3 times a week and have it have salt and pepper on it. Like, shit, like, it's either diet food or no food. Like, I'm not on a diet. I just don't want to eat like dog shit.
No, I feel you.
But
so what
anyway,
else? So other
so
than
for
CMOS.
Someone with my diet, CMOS is super helpful.
Yeah.
It makes a big difference in your energy levels and your vitality. It helps clear out the phlegm from smoking the ganja, you know?
Okay.
You know what I mean?
He knows exactly what you mean.
Yeah, it's really just quite great
for
certain things. And then I have two oils, then all the formulations are developed by me. The day oil that I use is a replacement for my ADHD medication, so it helps a lot with my focus, with my energy, with brain fog in the morning, and with like motivation and just like getting me up and moving.
Mm-hmm. Explain the process of even creating an oil.
So it was initially supposed to be a tea, and again, I'm lazy.
Yeah.
I don't want to sit there boiling water, watching the freaking herbs roam around for 20 minutes before the medicinal properties are soaked in, and then having to walk around with a freaking thermos for like 20 minutes drinking my little hot tea.
Yeah.
I'm lazy as shit. So I was like, what? How is the best way to administer this shit and go? And like, capsules are tough. Like, a lot of people can't swallow capsules. They have issues with swallowing them. I know my CMOS is a capsule, but it's just because I wanted to travel with it, and I didn't see any other way to like be able to take CMOS without.
Just the only way you sell it is in the capsule form?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I think gel is just a marketing gimmick. Like, it's a supplement. Why are you taking it in a gel? And people think it's more pure and like somehow think that when you take the dehydrated moss and instead of making it powder, you blend it with water.
I thought it was based off of how your stomach breaks it down in capsule or gel form. I thought it was faster. I don't know. I thought that's
pretty
what
much
it was.
The exact same,
if it's the same thing.
It's pretty much the exact same.
Yeah.
So I have a day oil that's a nootropic and adaptogenic blend. So nootropic herbs help with cognitive function. So with mental clarity, brain fog, focus, attention span, memory, all that good stuff.
Yeah, I occasionally take Alpha Brain. So
yeah,
it has all
similar.
That stuff in it. Yeah.
And then it's a blend of adaptogenic plants in there as well, because for me, I can't drink coffee or have stimulants. So I need something to bring me down, to calm me down so that I don't get jittery. So
no coffee at all?
No.
Do you enjoy, like, when you have had it, did you enjoy the taste?
I love decaf coffee.
Oh, do you? Yeah, okay. See, that's the tough part. When you, some people don't like it at all. No, some people just drink it because of the caffeine.
Yeah.
But some people love the taste.
I love the taste.
Yeah.
It makes me feel like a good adult.
Yeah.
Because I don't drink or have coffee. I'm like, shit, I still feel like a toddler. Like, people still ask me if I want freaking chocolate milk when I come over. And I'm like,
you want a cup of coffee? I can't drink that.
Hey,
you want?
There's nothing wrong with chocolate milk.
Well, like, I have an older friend. She's like 70, and she was like my bestie when I was in Ottawa.
Yeah.
And I'd have like friends come over to her house, and she'd be like, "Would you like a beer, a coffee?" And she'd look at me and be like, "Apple juice?" I was like, "Yeah, would love some, you know."
Sunny delight, what do you want?
So it was just nice to have, you know, decaf coffee. But yeah, I can't have stimulants, so that was like kind of the nice way for me to be able to wake up and still focus and get work done.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I find I notice a huge difference.
Yeah, Alpha Brain's a game changer. Yeah, when
and
I have taken it.
I have a night oil that's super sedative, and it's just calming. So I don't necessarily take the night oil anymore. I used to take it because I had intrusive thoughts before bed and like would just not be able to fall asleep because I'd just be panicking about nonsense. But now I don't really need it. So the only times I really take the night oil are for flights, just to chill out or sleep on a flight. But aside from that, it kind of helps you sleep, but it doesn't keep you asleep. So when you wake up, you feel awake.
Okay, so I'm Sanaz, and I want to get into oils. What was my first step? Did I have to contact someone who's in the sciences?
So initially, I started making them with my lab mate who was doing his master's alongside me. Like, when I say lab mate, we each did our own research, but we shared a lab or the same supervisor.
Okay.
So he was the smartest person I've ever met in my life. We're still very close. Like, I love him to death. And his mom was an herbalist. He's the one that took me to the herb shop. We started mixing up blends together, and his mom kind of helped, like, guide the way. And then when I found things that were working, I would just constantly go into the shops and talk to the herbalists and be like, would this go with this? Like, is this okay to take with my meds? This, da, 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 da. And then I would talk to a pharmacist as well, that they don't want to be known because...
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Again, like, it's with natural. Pharma, yeah, it's like it's you natural. Could lose your job, but there's so many doctors and so many pharmacists, psychiatric nurses, regular nurses that look at me and they're like, what you're doing is great. We like completely agree with you, but we're not allowed to say it publicly.
Yeah.
We're not allowed to. Like,
there's no money in it.
Which is wild.
There's no money
but
in it.
But there's so many doctors that are like, what you're doing is great. Like, keep it up.
When you can make it at home yourself, they lose money.
Yeah.
So it's like, it only makes sense. Like, there's like, let's say conspiracy theories are like, there's cures for fucking AIDS and cures for cancer. They're just keeping it on the low because they, you know, we need to give you radiation. You need to pay for that shit. Like, apparently, like, that's what conspiracy, like, if they can do phones and satellites and planes and all this stuff, you're telling me that something like cancer, you haven't figured, you know?
It's hard to, like, believe
it is.
That
it's hard
the
to
world
believe.
Can be so evil, but it's also hard to believe that the science, like, hasn't gone
that
far. For me, I don't like to say crazy things or, like, sway the boat too much with, like, conspiracies and politics. Like,
for
I try to not talk about politics, religion, or conspiracies. Like, it's not my playing field, but...
So you voting for Trudeau again, or what?
I don't vote
I'm just joking.
I don't know anything about politics, really. I try to stay in my lane. I'm science, man.
Do you vote?
Don't know what I would vote for.
There you go. Hey, that's fair.
Yeah,
that's
fair.
Most people don't.
Yeah.
I'm
people,
getting...
Like, my white friends get very butthurt when I tell
them. I'm a lot better in the last 2 years just because of the pandemic. And then I'm kind of like, what else is this motherfucker talking about? And then I kind of dive a little deeper and then understand. Then you start understanding the conservative side, what their viewpoints on certain things are. And then you're like, okay. So it all just depends on, like... That's what's so cool about it is that, like, you're just voting for someone who sees the world the same way. Like, you know, like if Gary Vee wanted to fuck, you'd be like,
but
oh, I'm
like,
fucking,
do
he's got my vote.
They ever actually stick to what they say.
Yeah,
that's the hard part
say.
Is that.
Do things actually occur?
Yeah.
It's like people are like, oh, but you should vote anyway. But it's like, okay, well, I agree, but then like nothing really. Yeah. You
it's because they're kind of puppets. They're like, in some degree, they're a little,
like,
bit of puppets.
At the end of the day, they're just figureheads, but like they can't make no decision without the whole team backing them up, signing
exactly
the bill,
either.
And this, that, and the other. So it's like, really, you're just like, your ideas are cool, but when you actually like push them to make a change, is when I'll.
Yeah, you're just hoping some of the ideas that they're speaking about do see the day of light, because then that's a win. Then rather than like the opposite team's fucking views, same thing. But like stuff like the Emergency Act, like some people thought it was a good idea to invoke it. Some people thought it wasn't, like against the convoy and all that stuff. So obviously a lot of people are going to vote just based off that. People will know nothing about politics at all, but will just base their vote on how that
one
played
aspect,
out. Right.
Yeah.
Which is a big thing. So like I just started getting into it the last couple of years. Cause like me, I was just like everybody else. Like I'm kind of like, oh, it's never going to change. Da da da. Had that. kind of perspective, but now I'm slowly starting to be like, at least I can say I did my part into trying to make the world, or at least the municipality, BC, Canada, the way I want it to be and what I want it. Because like, I feel like the one thing that I'm going to regret is that I don't want the world or this country to be something that I don't want for my kids.
Yeah.
So like, that's the only thing. Like me, I can handle it, but like, I don't want, like, even, so perfect example, last night, like, I'm a big UFC fan, so I watch every fucking card. Free, paid, whatever, I'll watch them all. So last night, there was a card, and Holly Holm, she's the one who head kicked Ronda Rousey, whatever. Mm. At the end of her, she won her fight in the octagon. She's like, since I have the platform, I just want to say this right now, we need to start, like, we need to make sure that we protect our children and stop sexualizing children. And she, like, said that, like, after her fight, which I thought was very courageous. Yeah. Because we see a lot of things going down that some people may not agree with and some people do. Like, Donald Trump is like, we're going to fucking make sure that there's no transition surgeries before this age and you can't hormone block and all this stuff with, like, drag queens and stuff like that, which some people think is fair. Some people think isn't fair, but at least you see people with their perspectives and you're able to vote one side or another. So like, just being educated on that. I'm not a big politics guy, but I'm slowly starting to get into it.
But that's a big thing, because I was at I was shooting a Native event a couple months ago.
Mm. Indigenous.
Sorry, Indigenous. My
How
bad.
Dare you?
My bad.
How
you
dare
you?
You
canceled that.
That is true.
You always have to be politically correct when you're on the internet.
No. I wish that was the case for me anyway.
Yeah, I was shooting at an Indigenous event. And they were talking about like how they have this cool concept, and what they believe is like, you thank the seven generations before you and you pay homage to them, and then you think about the next seven generations. And mm-hmm. I feel like that's something that we don't ever do. We never think about like seven generations. Even just one generation is wild. And I was like, and I took a step back. I'm like, that's actually pretty wild. Like, I should be making those steps, you know, because like, if the people before me hadn't done that, I wouldn't be here.
They sacrificed.
Yeah.
So you could have the opportunity to do something, and like, I feel like we're wasting it away on stuff that doesn't really matter in the small scheme of things. Yeah. Like, obviously people's feelings matter and stuff like that. Like, you don't want to be offended, but like, if he's saying Native and he's not trying to do it in a derogatory way, he's just saying, it's just like saying Black people. It's like, oh, they're African Americans. Well, it's like, now we're just playing a little, like, if you get offended by it, didn't mean to offend you, but like,
that's not
it's the intent. Yeah. I always believe it's the
Sinaz
intent.
I think Sinaz as a human,
you know,
doesn't give a fuck what nobody says.
Right, exactly.
But Sinaz is an internet human.
Doesn't want to be attacked.
Egg shell.
No, I love that shit. I love when people come.
Too, right?
Yeah. Like, no, for sure.
The real me, you know, Akeem, like, my buddy, I don't know how you know him, but I met him through TikTok. He just came on my live and was like, "Well, want to hang out? I'm in Vancouver." I was like, "Okay, we can hang out."
Mm-hmm.
And like, I have no idea where this came, and I don't know where I was going with it, really. Something about
you being an internet person watching.
He said to me the first time we met in person, he's like, "You're a personality catfish," and I was like, "What the fuck is that?" And he's like, "Online, you come off so like sweet and wholesome, and I am like, I have a good heart, but like." Real me, I swear a lot. I say wild shit.
Even when you came in, I was kind of like, "Oh, this is like more. You're more open than I thought you were gonna be. You're like more like, just like interactive than I thought you were gonna be."
People always think that I'm gonna be either like a cunt, stuck up, like some type of way. But like, it's just because online, I've had people make like hate videos of me, and especially talking about plant medicine, people get very triggered when I say like you can alleviate certain symptoms of mental health with plants. It's very triggering, and I understand, because I used to get triggered by that. I used to think it's not scientific, like you're on some bullshit. But like, until you're open to trying something and you're open to like seeing another person's perspective and you leave that victim mentality, it's really hard to receive. So I just try my best not to trigger people,
because
I understand where they're coming from
for
as well.
Sure. So you even saw the video. So perfect example is that happened to us because of the video that. So you saw the video of Elliot. Yeah, I think I seen you that you liked it like maybe yesterday.
I don't know who Elliot is.
Well, Elliot's the guy that we interviewed, the homeless guy.
Oh,
and he said that he was
was sad.
Right? So I would like this is what it was.
What was sad is the man told you he was suicidal and you brushed past
no,
it.
No. That's what people kept saying.
That people
go ahead.
See. So we even had this conversation. So I even almost dropped my camera, because again, this the premise of us going out to ask the question was, what makes people happy? And we're like, oh, like he's playing the violin. We're like, he'll be a cool guy. And then we never expected that. So what actually happened when you turned off the cameras is we actually had a conversation with him. But we also understand how sensitive that conversation could be, so we didn't know how to react. Like, so think about, you randomly go outside and someone says that. Like, your first reaction isn't, it's a bit of a shocker.
My first reaction is to hug them.
Yes, yeah, that wasn't our first. That wasn't my first reaction first.
But you've never been there.
No, not. It wasn't because of the situation. It wasn't because I've known many people in that situation that he was in. It wasn't that. It's just that when you are talking to a stranger and they agree to be interviewed, you don't know, especially when someone's going through that, you don't know anything. So, like, for me, like, for us, it was more so, at least for me, because he was filming. So when he opened up, with that, for me, one, I didn't know how deep to go, because then I'm a stranger. So I'm not going to start asking you, oh, like, what happened? Or are you, like, it was more so, like, okay, the camera's rolling. Let's make sure that I'm not invading his privacy, but also trying to get something positive out of him. And that's, like, in a split second, right? So I'm asking him, what makes you happy? And he's like, violin, because it's the only thing that doesn't make me want to leave. So I was like, at first that threw me off. I couldn't even look at him. He was behind me or he was beside. So then I was like, okay, if there's anything, I just kind of tried to move on to the next question to get something else positive. And then he opened up about being homeless. But then what people don't understand in situations like that is that, one, it's real time. So it's a split second. This is different because you opened up to us, but we're having a back and forth conversation where we know that it's an interview. That is more so we're asking you two questions, which we told him prior to turning on the camera. We just want to ask you, oh, like, what makes you happy? He's like, yeah, sure. And then we turned on the camera. This is a bit more, we know it's 40 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour. So we know we're going to get in depth. So when mental health comes up, it's a lot easier to have that back and forth and kind of dig a bit deeper. When it's in real time like that, no matter who you are, people act like they would know what to do in that situation, especially when you ask a positive question and you receive an answer like that from a stranger. One, you're not used to strangers opening up like that. That's number one. So two, I am trying to defend myself to some degree, but like people act like my intent was like I didn't give a fuck about him. That's not the case at all. It's just that the camera's running.
Did you talk to him when the camera turned off?
We did, and that's the thing. We had a conversation about it, and that's because
So then if you know your intentions were pure, fuck what anyone else.
Well, that's exactly what it is. So like even when you said that, that's the everyone's initial thing is that we brushed them off. But I'm just like, one, it's not easy to hear that from a stranger on camera when you just met them 45 seconds before. That's number one. Number two, people are like, why didn't you give him money? I was like, first of all, I didn't have cash on me. People act like I'm carrying cash talking to homeless people. Like he was just a guy.
May I interrupt?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's because there is a lot of content creators now that do this thing where some of them are gimmicky, some of them are very pure and intentional, but they do this thing where they interview strangers and then they offer them like $1,000 or tickets to a co- I don't know if you've seen the guy.
Yeah, I've seen
every
that guy.
Time
yeah.
I watch his TikToks, I cry like a baby. Like I literally will sit there for hours just crying and being like, this is so beautiful.
He was actually
like,
in Vancouver
so good.
A couple weeks ago.
And I think
was it the guy from Toronto?
The guy
that holds the sign?
Yeah, I love him. Like if I could meet that guy and just like give him a big hug and be like, you're a good dude, like I would love to meet that guy. I'm gonna manifest that shit.
Yeah.
But for me personally, when anyone ever asks me for money, I at least try to do something.
He didn't ask me for money.
That's the thing. He wasn't looking for money. No. I think a lot of people seeing that type of content were expecting you to be like, oh, you're homeless. You're, you know, sad.
Well, he said he was homeless 3 weeks ago in Toronto.
Yeah, and then someone had given him
a friend, and he's staying at his
free,
exactly.
Which I think people just expected you to be like, and here's a new home
So then I'm like, if you really listen to the interview, one, he said he was homeless and now he has a friend that's helping him.
Yeah, you asked him how much his rent was.
Right? So I was like, because that was supposed to be the third question. It's like, oh, Vancouver's super expensive. Everyone's like complaining about
how
the rent
is your
and
rent?
How. Mine? $1,850
Is it a mortgage?
No, I rent.
Okay.
Yeah, we own two properties, but I rent. $925 each. So she pays $925. I pay $925.
Oh, the 50-50 split.
Yeah, that's how we do it in here. So that's number one. And then number two, people aren't even thinking about, like, some repercussions that could happen. Like, everyone has heard about the police officer, the sergeant, the woman who got killed by the homeless guy in Burnaby. You never heard about that? So she went, it was like a...
on the news.
Yeah, so it was all over the internet. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, I didn't know what the story was. I just heard
The story was apparently it's like a... I think homeless people live there and like they're just doing a check-in. So just like, oh, like making sure everyone's okay and stuff like that. And there was a guy in a tent and she was by herself and the guy just lunged out of the tent and fucking stabbed her and killed her. This is a police officer out of nowhere. police officer coming to check just to make sure everything's okay. There was
I
no
mean, you
disturbance
really
or everything.
Enter someone's home without.
No, she didn't. She didn't go in the tent. He was like, hey, like I think she asked him to come out. You'd have to. I have to get the facts, but from my understanding, she just asked him to come out, or he just came out of the tent. He was mentally distraught and stabbed the police officer, and she died. So, like, people are like, why didn't you give him a hug? I'm like, first of all, he's a complete stranger.
Well, I don't think you should ever touch anyone.
Yeah, and that's
asking.
The thing. Because even
like, I think
when
you can
walk,
say, may I give you a hug?
Maybe,
or,
but one,
do you
that's
need
not,
a hug? May I give you one?
Yeah,
or something
I'm
like
also
that's
not,
what I would, that's just how I move.
Yeah, that's not how
I would
I move.
Never fucking touch a stranger or take a picture of anyone without.
So I'm like,
consent.
Are you guys understand that like you can't just go around moving like this is my best friend now because he was. Courageous
but
enough
to
open up.
But at the end of the
up,
day, if you know
right?
your intentions and you
for
know
sure.
yeah. your heart.
That's why it didn't affect me.
Well, and that's the thing, right? Like, a lot of times people on the internet see 30-second clip and think they know you and think they can speak on your life and who you are as a human.
Exactly.
And it's like, at the end of the day, obviously, I get it all the time. A lot of people tell me I don't have an education. I never got a degree. It's fake. I'm like, but you can Google my thesis.
Fake.
Like, but you can Google my master's
like the,
thesis.
The,
like,
the fact that they say it's fake.
Yeah, that's the internet.
That's the internet. That's literally the internet.
Some people say you've had so much surgery. I'm like, I've never, like, I'm too much of a pussy to have surgery.
Yeah.
Like, I'm
it's
scared.
Like, I faint from needles.
I'm
what are you
like,
about?
Interested, but scared. Like, maybe down the road after some kids, but right now I am a pussy.
That's,
like,
that's what one people don't understand. I think a lot of people don't understand about the internet that no matter what you do, there's always going to be that.
I have. Okay, so when I made my account, I thought I'm talking about positivity, a good mindset, and mental health. How could anyone ever hate on me?
Right.
And I was shooketh when I first, like, started getting hate. I was like, me? Like, excuse? I have a friend of mine that makes a bathing suit line. I was like, how can people hate on her? It's not inclusive enough. You don't have enough sizing. She's like, I make these by hand. Like, I can only choose to do so many. There's a friend of mine that owns a brokerage in Miami, and she has a bunch of women working for her, and she is very good at real estate, and she does, like, teaches people about Airbnbs, and she's a huge real estate agent.
Mm.
And she gets shat on for being too independent. Everyone says it's her husband's money because he's a lawyer. She's like, but I own a very successful brokerage. And it's like, at the end of the day, no matter what niche you're in, the internet, it's like, for example, like a video of mine that gets 5 million views. You really think 5 million motherfuckers are all going to love you?
No,
that's impossible.
No, they don't love anybody.
Statistically impossible.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, there's always going to be someone in their parents' basement butthurt by your success.
Yep.
Someone that, you know, I look like someone that rejected you. I look like someone that you can't have. Whatever the case may be, people will
let
get
them
triggered.
Know. Say it with your chest. Let them know.
It's terrifying. The internet
I look like
just,
someone they can't have.
People
that's a bar right there. That's
said,
a bar and a half.
We're definitely
someone
posting
said
that
you're
one.
Conceited and you show off. And I was like, why am I showing off? He's like, you travel. And I was like, but how is that showing off? And he's like, well, some of us can't afford to be on a beach every day. And I'm like, but I do my business from the beach. And he's like, no, you're a show off. You're a loser. I'm like, but I'm confused. I'm like, I don't
I
get
work.
It.
I work fucking 16 hours a day, 17 hours a day.
Minimum.
And fucking, yeah, like and they're getting hate. It's crazy.
And it's like what, and I tell people, I'm like, you could have easily more money than me. I'm not special. Like, you just have to believe in yourself and have like some sort of something that you love and like work on it.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you're a piece of shit. It's like, okay, well, that's the easier route. Go for
it. Yeah, that's like, definitely an easier route.
Then.
It's definitely an easier route. So what bit, other than the oils, is that the, what's the other businesses that you do?
So I have another business that I don't do a whole lot in. It's an online course about how to grow and monetize your TikTok. It's filmed, produced by a marketing agency. They had reached out to me and asked me to film it, and I did all the work, and then the production was done, ready to go, and my part was supposed to be the face, the brain, and the intellectual property. They were supposed to be in charge of now marketing it. When push came to shove, they just didn't do anything. They never even like put it up. They kept giving me excuses. Oh, I had a baby. I'm like, okay, but you knew 9 months before that that the baby was going to come. So like, you know, 6 months in, why did you ask me to do this? I spent money flying to Toronto. I spent time and effort and da-da-da-da-da. So I still have the course. I still have the website. He eventually gave me full rights to it because he's a good man. He wasn't a bad guy. He was like, yeah, I understand. I did nothing. Like, this is probably yours. And so the course is mine. And some people buy it online, but mainly I just give it to friends and family to kind of just be able to help people without actually investing my own time, because I would sit down. I like helping people. I like people doing better than me. I don't mind it. So when I sit down with people, it's like, I'm giving you my heart, soul, and my time. And then tomorrow you make one video, give up and go, I didn't go viral. I gave up and started just doing OnlyFans. And it's like, well then why did you sit down with me
there's
for
nothing,
like 2 hours of my time? Like,
I don't think
I'm tired.
There's anything better than like being able to like bring people up based on what you're doing.
Yeah.
like well, if based you, on your knowledge, right?
Yeah. Or just what you're doing. Brain. Like you're it's like, hey, I'm doing this oil company and like you're a herbalist, like I need you. And then they're all of a sudden like, oh, you work for Sanaz? Like I'm looking for someone, can you help me out too? And then like they're getting opportunities just from, and then it's just a chain event. And then now he's hiring somebody or she's hiring somebody. It's like, oh, now you have your own team, and like everyone's just like growing together. That's the best thing that could fucking happen. That's the best thing that could fucking happen.
For me personally, like I just wanna watch everyone around me like have more than me so that they can travel with me. Like
not even more. You could have like you could have.
Yeah,
more,
like I just want less, everyone like, to be at
just with
the
you.
Same level.
Like,
as
up,
you.
Yeah. Up. If yeah. I'm up, if we I'm all up.
We're
up.
All
like,
trying to eat.
That's it.
I buy my mom more designer stuff than I buy me, and I'm like, how am I gonna go buy myself a designer purse? My mom's still walking around with Guess. Like, excuse you. Like my mom has more designer stuff than I do, and it's like at the end of the day, like. Do I deserve it more? Or does this like lovely older human that's had a harder life, you know? Yeah. And it's like
and she set you up.
Yeah, right? And I think like for her it means more, especially in Persian culture. Like designer stuff is like a way for them to like floss, you know? Like they love to like
100%.
It's like they care more about what the neighbors think. But me personally, I'm cool in my sweatpants. I have 9 different colors of the same sweatpants. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I just rotate through every day and like I love it. It works for me. My mom said if you're gonna dress homeless, at least buy nice sweatpants. I bought nice sweatpants.
There you go.
You know? Got a different essentials hoodie for every day of the week, and I just rotate through. It's my like uniform of the day.
Yeah, that's
but
what's
I
up.
Think that everyone else around me should be up. So like, I recently like one of my girlfriends is a science teacher. Mm. She's so educated, so fucking smart, so beautiful, so talented. Like, love the girl to death. Known her since I was 12, 13 years old.
Mm.
And she was in a job where it wasn't great, and she was just in a, like an environment that was not conducive to her mental health. So I hired her as my wholesale sales associate.
Excuse me.
And I want whatever makes her comfortable, but I want her to just live comfortable. I want her to have financial freedom and be at peace. And like, I will do anything in my power to make sure that happens, but it's no skin off my back to like make sure someone else comes up with me. You know 100%. What I mean? Like if I see like a friend of mine, like obviously a lot of my friends are doctors and lawyers and they don't need help and they don't want help and we're just friends. But if I see anyone that I know that like could benefit from anything about me or anything in my brain, I will happily do it. It's just with the course, it was just time consuming when people wouldn't actually do the work. So it's nice to just be like, yo, take this. Here's the promo code to watch it for free. Hit me up if you have questions.
Yo, link me that promo code one time.
I happily will, yeah. And you can always like ask me questions afterwards. Yeah. Like, I'm more than happy to help.
Your boy's like, I was going to say, I'm going to link that shit to me too, bro.
I'll
you say
for it anyway if you want to give me a promo.
With 3 TikTok accounts, it's like, you can't say I got lucky. Yeah.
No.
You can no longer say it was based on my looks. A lot of times, I have fucking text over top of my face.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with anything other than knowing how the algorithm works, knowing what TikTok likes, and then creating stuff that people like.
100%.
And like content, right?
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, obviously, if you're a videographer, you're going to have the content and the eye for the aesthetic. It's just more so how to understand the algorithm and be its bitch.
And each platform.
And that's the thing. A lot of people think what we do is easy. Even like just producing this podcast. Like, there's so much work that goes into it.
So much work goes into video editing.
Yeah. Oh my God. People are like,
that's the reason I don't want to do my damn self.
So I was on his ass when we first started working together, not just with the podcast, but like with the content that he creates for the gym. And I'll be like, yo, like, when you getting the stuff? When you getting the stuff? And then like, I started kind of seeing behind the scenes of like how long it takes and all this shit. I'm like, Even to upload the shit. It takes.
You should have
like,
said, do it your damn self.
Dude,
one
it takes.
Time.
Yeah, he's like, you know what?
The thing is, now he's doing it.
Now I do it. Like, yeah. So he'll upload, clips, but then I'm chopping it up and like actually doing it. And like, so like I do that part. He just does the podcast, uploads that, and then the street interviews when we do the street interviews. But the stuff on the Instagram and eventually the TikTok, I chop that stuff up. So I started to learn and I'm like, fuck, it does take a while, especially if you haven't like created like an efficient, easy system, which I'm sure like professionals have. But me, I'm just dabbling. So like I'm fucking in these apps and all these things and figuring it out like in real time. So it's taking me like 3 times as longer as it would take him. But then I'm starting to understand like, oh, shit, this is like real shit. It's not just like upload, boom, and it's there.
I just don't have an eye for aesthetic. Like, you know, sometimes you just don't like it's.
Oh, no, it's a
gift. Obviously,
if
someone else is filming it, that's great. But for me, like, I'm not good at that. Like, I'm good at just turning a camera on and talking and clipping out the parts where I'm just like, you know, just like, because just making it like so that it's just talk,
fluid,
talk,
yeah.
Fluid, but like when it comes to like those cool vlogs, I've never had a vlog reach over 5,000 views, like ever. And I'm like, yo, this one's sick. But like, I can't even catch a beat. So like, it won't be on beat. Someone said it's giving schizophrenia. And I was like,
giving schizophrenia vibes.
I really thought it was so good. I was like, what about this? And they're like, like, no, Sinas, no, don't post that. And I was like, okay, fair. But like, I do a lot of cool things. I have a lot of really cool content, but like, I don't have shit to do with it because
just post it.
Is no trust. It's like,
I'm telling
just let
you,
it happen.
Yeah,
no, but no one like it has to be put together it properly. It 100% does.
But even with
just
that,
random long video clips of like me trolling in Vegas.
Why not?
Don't.
But what if, what if people like that? Yeah. What if someone?
They don't.
No. What if people like that?
They don't.
You don't know what people like.
They'll like it when it's like.
What if I watch?
Properly.
I'm like, oh, that shit is actually dope.
But even with that,
that's raw. It was raw and real.
Yeah. This is something I've learned. That's the only way you're gonna get better.
That's it.
Because
but also some people just like have different ways. Like your brain has to be artistic. My brain has always been athletic. It's never been artistic. Like I can't dance. I can't sing. I can't catch a beat. Like, and I'm okay with that.
No, but those are the same people that are watching your videos.
Yeah.
The same people who can't do what you can't do are watching your videos and be like, fuck, her videos are like mine. They're fucking all.
I tried to make one that was unaesthetic, and I even wrote an unaesthetic morning vlog in it. And I thought it was sick as shit. I even had someone else put it together after I'd made the clips. She made it so much better that I was like, yeah, this is the one. 3 months later, it's at like 8,000 views.
Don't even worry about that. Don't count numbers.
Yeah, you have to start
somewhere. Don't count numbers.
Because even for me, something I find weird is those ASMR videos.
Mm-hmm. I love them.
I'm like, why are people spending hours watching them?
I love watching them.
But
yeah.
There's a market for
pleasure.
It.
Yeah, it's weird.
Sick
I would
pleasure.
Never do it, but that's what I'm saying. Like what he said, there's people out there who like those type of videos.
But that's the thing. Like, I've been on TikTok long enough to know, like, what will do well and what won't do well. But a video that's just random bullshit pieced together in no fashion of a way.
You got to throw a curveball sometimes.
I don't know how. That's the problem. I don't know how.
Okay, before we get out of here,
yeah, what's up?
I wanted to ask, because you're so successful, like, in what you do, and you kind of, like, grew and, like, learned about yourself a lot, how's the dating scene in Vancouver? How's your dating life?
I don't date humans from Vancouver.
What do I not?
Why don't I date people that are local? They're soft.
They're soft? Okay.
I can see that.
I don't know. A lot of like the guys in Vancouver are soft or just weird. Like I'll be like, oh yeah, my assistant's going to grab that. Oh, you have an assistant.
Yeah. See, that's a.
I can't fucking function without my assistant.
So,
like,
no. So this is why I asked the question.
Function?
This is exactly why I asked the question.
We're
this is exactly why I asked the question. Because that's what I'm saying. That's why I prefaced it with you're successful. You've kind of figured yourself out. Obviously, you went through the lows and the highs and you're kind of, you know, starting to put some puzzle pieces together. And that could be intimidating to a guy, especially the guys in Vancouver. Okay?
I've always dated professional athletes, but obviously that has not worked out well because they're kind of donkeys. Like, and it's like, what's like the happy in between? Because I do make more than the 1%.
Mm.
Like, I think you posted that, no? Mm. Didn't you post like the 1% in Canada makes this?
Yeah.
I took a screenshot and I was like, I make well over that. So now what?
So it's,
and it's like,
so you put yourself in it. So that's exactly why we're talking about this is because now you put yourself in a class where it's going to be tough to deal with somebody who doesn't have, not just financially, because it's okay. I think it's okay.
Well, it's like, for
example,
someone I used to talk to, I currently, like, send them a few $100 every, like, week or two. I still pay for his, like, I send DoorDash to his house. He lives in Atlanta, but, like, I still, like, and it's just like, damn, like, we're grown. You know what I mean? Like, you can't afford, like, and take that part out of the.
That's crazy.
But it's like, damn, like, and it's like, I love.
There's no
like,
names.
I like love him as a person. He's a good man.
Yeah,
like, bro, like you're 30 years old. Like you can't even like.
Yeah.
And it's like, at a certain point, I'm like, it's frustrating. But then it's like you go for like my ex is worth $60 million, and he's one of the best players in the NFL, and he's batshit fucking crazy. Mm. Like I will show you after this. He talks to himself constantly. I've got messages from 2020 until today. Hey, can we talk? Snaz, please respond. Hey, will you come to Miami? Meant nothing. Happy Valentine's Day. Happy birthday. Glad I messaged
you today.
See,
those are the people you have to stay away from. Because those are the ones, those are legit crazy people. People
I'm
that
aware,
can act like, the people that
like,
can act like one thing's wrong and then the next second, like nothing ever happened. That's a crazy person.
I told this man in December, if you buy me a Van Cleef for wasting my time for 3 years, I will talk to you. He said, okay, it's coming, it's coming. It never
it's
came. So
expensive
I was like,
ass fucking jewelry.
I say you're in. No, but the problem I have with him is he says shit and never acts on it. Mm-hmm. So it's like, why? What was the reason? Why hound me for 2.5 years to try to talk to me? You're worth $60 million. To you, $5,000 is nothing.
Yeah.
Literally nothing.
No, yeah, literally.
So
nothing.
Why is it that you can't just buy it to show me something? I said, at least show me something.
Yeah.
I said, okay, bro, you know where I live. If you actually want to talk, come. oh, it's a long flight. Let me just fly you to my summer house so you can see how I live. I said, bitch, what? I don't like you, and you expect me to get on a fucking 8-hour flight to come hang out with your ass?
So clearly, with what you're saying now, I can kind of understand why you don't date local.
Yeah.
Like, you're basically saying the reasons why you don't date local. There's not that many people like that you're going to find here that have that kind of money. Or what's that?
Are you talking about black guys?
No. You didn't say any of the athletes were black. I didn't know that. But I'm just talking about the lifestyle, the fucking Van Cleef and fucking, you're not getting that here. And then
bitch, we're in the richest city in fucking
And
Canada.
If you are getting it here, you're not the only one. That's a tough thing. So that's the thing about athletes is that, like,
I can get my own. The issue is, if you're going to waste my time for years,
yeah,
at least show me something.
So that's
something.
The dichotomy. That's
this
the
man literally repeatedly begged and begged to send me a present.
I agree.
No, I don't want to. I said, I don't want to deal with you.
Yeah.
No, please, I'll show you. Okay, cool. Here's my address. Nothing ever happens. Yeah. It's like, what was the reason?
No, I agree, but that's what I'm saying. I'm saying, like, because you're so successful that it requires you to deal with other successful men, but successful men have many options because they can, like, handle themselves. Like, they have their own money. So it's like, I don't need Sinaz money. So, like, if she's fucking around, there's going to be a girl that's just as good looking as Sinaz and fucking not giving me
I've
shit.
I've come to realize successful men love bums.
Yeah.
They love them. They live for it.
Well, it's not that they love bums. It's that they don't need their money. Plus, women don't really share their money anyway. Are you buying your man a Van Cleef?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I mean, I've been funding someone's life for the past 2 months.
Well, you said DoorDash. You said DoorDash.
No, I also sent him. Like, I've sent him over, like, $3,000 in the past month.
Shit, that's a lot of money. But
that's,
and it's, like, it's someone that I've never even dated. It's just someone that, like, I have love for. And, like, we've hung out once in the past 4 years. But it's just someone that, like, I don't know if I'm being used. I might be. But at the same time, it's really hard for me to know that someone I know can't really, like, get
support
food
themselves.
Or, like have, like, you know, like, they're invited to a gala, they can't even, like, get a nice outfit on, like, get their hair braided. Like, that hurts my heart. And, like, I understand that I could be getting used, but it's like, what's the flip side? Like, to me, $3,000 is nothing. So it's like, do I want to just give it and know that my heart is good, or do I want to, like, say no and potentially have someone, like, that I care about struggle? So it's just,
but then aren't they always going to struggle then?
Well, and that's the thing, I keep trying to put them on game, but recently I'm just like, yo, like, I kind of have taken a step back in the, like, since Friday, I just kind of have been like, okay, I can't, like, I can't keep doing, like, how long is this going to go on for? I haven't
It's going to go on forever.
Way. Yeah.
And that's the thing.
Yeah.
That's the hard part.
Yeah. You keep throwing out that life raft. You got to let them swim.
So that's the issue. It's like, when I go for successful guys, they're donkeys. And when I go for broke guys, it's hard because it's like, I dated, like, I have no problem with money. Like, I don't care how much you make, but, like, I had one guy that was living a normal life, like, you know, just a normal Vancouver life. He made maybe like $75,000 a year.
Mm.
And it's like,
that's good money.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like, every guy listening making under that, they're like, it's fucking bitch, man.
But it's like, we have, like, and it's okay to have different mindsets, right?
Yeah,
in my
that's
mindset,
fine.
If I make less than $100,000 a month, I'm sick.
Yeah.
So it's like, everyone has different, like, and again, my bills are way higher than most people. I take care of my mom and my little sister and myself, and then I have a team that depends on me.
Yeah.
And then aside from that, I'm scaling my business. I put a lot of money back
for
into
sure,
my business.
Which is what
so
you have,
like,
to do.
There's so many factors that play into how I need that amount. And it's like, at the end of the day, like, dating someone normal, I'd be like, oh, I want to travel. Well, I can't afford to. Well, I want to go out to eat. I can't afford to. It's like, well, bitch, I can.
Yeah,
so am I going to sit here and lessen my life, or am I going to fund you and make you, like...
But if you fund him for too long, women get too, like, they...
And it's just tough.
Women
men get too comfortable.
No, but I don't think women...
love a bitch to give
No. But that's what I'm saying, of course.
They're not used to it.
But
so
I don't think...
like, oh, this is great.
It's not going to get... It's not that men get too comfortable is why it works, is that women see that and they're like, oh, he's not doing shit. I need my man to do shit.
The tough thing is, like, I want someone to teach me how to grow. And I don't care how it is, if you teach me about finances, if you teach me about mindset, but teach me something.
So that's the, unfortunately for women, like, it's not anything other than that. But unfortunately for women, the more successful you get in your career, it's going to be harder to find a man.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. But the more successful a guy gets, it's easier, right? So, like, that's the unfair point, which is, it is what it is. But I can see it because, like, if my wife made more than me, I wouldn't be insecure about it. But if she made more than me and I wasn't making anything and she was supporting our whole life, one, I would feel super insecure about that. I'm not going
to
lie.
A man is meant 100%. To be a provider.
For sure.
I believe in masculine and feminine energy, and I believe a man 100%. Should be a provider.
For sure. So you got a small percentage of men to choose from moving forward, unless you give up your business.
No.
Yeah. But stick with them athletes, girl. That's the only
I think I can have it all. I think there's only, it's only needs to be one out of 8 billion.
Yeah, that's true.
You know? No, you're right. No, 100%.
It's going to happen, and I'm not in a rush, but I also was not mentally ready to meet anyone before this past year, right? I was not okay, and I was drawing in very negative influences and stuff like that. So I feel like recently is the only time I've been mentally well, and like I'm heavily scaling my business. I've got like 50 emails a day of people needing things from me. I am the sole owner of my business. So
that's dope.
It is a lot of humans constantly messaging me being like, hey, I need this. And like, you know, it's like my accountant needs one thing, my marketing team needs one thing, my PR team needs one thing, my advisor needs one thing, and then my employees need another thing.
How long has it been since inception?
2 years.
Oh, wow.
That's
so
crazy.
It's like with all those people coming at me all the time, it's like I don't even necessarily like have time to entertain someone's bullshit. Yeah. It has to be someone that's elevating me or like a pure and positive influence. And otherwise, it's like I'm good. You can just talk to yourself.
Yeah.
Enjoy. My ghost game is strong.
That's tough. My ghost game is strong.
Strong.
Yeah. That's the tough part, man. I feel for not you, but I feel for women who are like super successful in what they do because it kind of like pulls – at the same time, it's pulling them out of their own dating pool.
Yeah, the guy I used to date, he would be like, well, you make more money than me while you're sleeping before we even wake up, so how am I supposed to pay for dinner? And it's like,
figure it out.
Yeah.
Cool. Figure it the fuck out.
Or like one of my exes, literally, he's like, let's go shopping. I was like, okay, takes me to Holt Renfrew, gets to the cashier and goes, so it's going to be on you, right? I was like, your Louboutins are on me? Like, but then why wear them? Like, and now he's flexing on the next bitch with his lubes. Like,
yeah, don't do that.
I paid for those, sir.
It seems like that's what a woman would do.
Well, I told his new girlfriend I paid for his shoes.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Me.
But that's like what a woman would do. A woman, like a guy would buy a woman nice things.
Hell
and then
no.
She's like,
I burn all that shit after.
Really?
I don't think all women do. I don't like other people's energy being in my life. After like you're gone. I don't want anything to do with it.
That's
fair.
But that's just me and like energy. I feel like it affects you. Like, I don't know. You're still like, you're done with the guy. You hate him, but you're still carrying around a bag he bought you. It's like,
would that be like every piece or is like the expensive pieces? Because I've gotten like cheap t-shirts that are like my house t-shirts I still use. But if it's like a fucking $7,000 fucking bracelet or something, then it's kind of like, you just have to sell it.
But I don't have nothing. Yeah. I don't keep anything.
Yeah, for me, I keep the jewelry. That's the only thing I've kept when I can.
So anyone trying to date Sinaz in the city, good luck. Good fucking luck.
I think you will find them. I get what
you're saying. I would love to meet someone in the city. That's the goal, isn't it? Like, I would love to have someone that's like a normal relationship and just like someone that lives down the street, but it's just not happening.
It's tough.
Someone to match your energy.
Well, thank you for coming on. I really appreciate that.
Thanks for having me.
I know. I'm glad it worked out. Yeah. Great. Stanley, thank you.
Let's get it.
See you guys next time.
See you next week.